Welcome to Family Ties, a breath of fresh parenting education. This podcast is an audio version of the Family Ties sessions we typically hold within our district with a large audience or one-on-one with our family liaisons. We use a research-based curriculum called Practical Parenting. We know some families can attend our sessions, and this is the reason why we decided to create this podcast, available to you 24/7. This is your host, Angie Nieto. I am a family liaison with District 33. I am trained in parenting education and prevention work. This podcast is sponsored by District 33 Community Schools and We Go Together for Kids. We have to prepare the child for the path and not the path for the child. Tim Elmore. For many families, back-to-school planning will look different this year than it has in previous years. Your school will have new policies in place to prevent the spread of COVID-19. You may also be starting the school year with virtual learning components. Whatever the situation might be, the CDC has prepared a series of materials intended to help parents, guardians, and caregivers plan and prepare for the upcoming school year. Some of these changes can include cohorts of dividing students and teachers into distinct groups for face-to-face learning. Some might be a hybrid, which is a mix of virtual learning and in-class learning, or it may be a virtual full-time at-home learning, which is the case for the students of District 33. District 33 has prepared for at-home e-learning for the first part of the year. In today's episode, we will talk about how to prepare for a positive virtual back-to-school learning with CDC materials and expertise from DuPage County Health Department mental health clinician Emily Solis. This is your host, Angie Nieto. Let's get started. All right, friends, I am so excited. I have Emily Solis here with us today, and I cannot wait to talk to her. She is one of our mental health clinicians in District 33. She works for the DuPage County Health Department, which is in Illinois, and she provides services for counseling for the students in District 33. So help me welcome Emily. Hi, Emily.
Hi, Angie.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for taking the time and taking our call today, this morning. And we have been trying to do this podcast now for a week. We've had some technical difficulties, so I appreciate your patience and I appreciate your time.
Oh, no problem, Angie.
So, Emily, I'm going to let you introduce yourself. Please tell us who you are, your role in the district, and what you are most trained and experienced in.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm Emily Solis. I'm a mental health clinician for District 33, and I also work for DuPage County Health Department.
Very good. And then, Emily, you work with the students at District 33 doing counseling. Is that right?
Correct.
Very good. Another tradition we have for Family Ties is to ask our guest, how do you practice self-care?
Well, I think self-care is very important, although it's a simple concept, but many of us tend to not save time for ourselves. I think practicing self-care is not easy, especially with a stressful job, spending time with our kids, and technology. I think some of the helpful self-care tips, like I do, are I make sure I have enough sleep, eat well, do some physical activities. I know still here in Illinois, it's still gorgeous outside, so it gives us time for a walk or run. I also like to draw and like to take some time to deep breathe on those stressful moments.
Absolutely. So You did a really nice session for us, for all the family liaisons with the district about self-care, and we relax so much, and we truly, truly appreciate that because it was great.
I'm happy you guys enjoyed it.
We want to make sure that parents, understand that it's okay to take care of themselves. So that's why we do this in the podcast, and I ask all of our guests to please make sure they take care of themselves and they do something for themselves. Something small, it doesn't have to be huge. So thanks for your ideas and for sharing them. So I'm so glad that you're here today because we have a very, very special topic to cover that it is so important these days. And it's how do we prepare for e-learning? And now I know most schools already started e-learnings and District 33 is one of them. And this is the format that we have in our district. Many places chose a different model, like a hybrid or even in-person learning. But our school decided to go with, or schools, I should say, our district decided to go with e-learning and for the first part of the year. And for this episode, we will be using materials provided by the CDC and, of course, your experience and expertise. So I'm going to go ahead and jump right on to our topic and ask you some questions. And the first question is that the CDC recommends following certain steps. So they give us a list that I will also provide on the details of the podcast. And it's a step-by-step how to provide mental health support to our virtual students. And the first thing they suggest on that list is to pay attention to physical changes and mood changes in the students prior to the beginning of each learning day. And understanding the difference between just having a bad day or chronically seeing drastic changes can be difficult for a parent, especially those teenage, students. So can you help us understand these changes a little better? Or explain some examples of them, what's normal and what's not normal.
I think as parents, we know our children. We know when our children are in a good mood or having a rough day. Everyone reacts different to stress. Things we might notice that might be abnormal could be not doing things that your child used to like to do. In some kids, we notice that they might have changes in mood. So, for example, like if you have a child that is very maybe quiet, very laid back, and then suddenly you're starting to see them, acting out or, moody, those are something that's a change in that child during this time. But I think it's important that you talk to your children, encourage your child to express their own opinion, talk about their feelings, talk about your child, how school is going and how they interact with their classmates and their teachers, and making sure we ask some open-ended questions. We tend to ask our children, how's your day? And they usually give us that answer, fine, good. And it's a very short answer. So I encourage everybody to give them questions that might give them lengthier answers as opposed to close-ended questions that might give you more of a yes or no. So maybe asking how was science class? That way they could give you more details in their answer.
Absolutely. I after our first conversation we had Emily last week, my daughter came home and I was like, "Hey, how was school?" And the first thing was like, "Oh my gosh, Emily said, no, ask open-ended questions." So I was so glad that we had that conversation because she said, "Fine." And then I said, "No, but tell me, what did you do? Did you learn something? What's something that was fun today?" And then she started talking. But it took that extra step, that additional question that wasn't just a yes or no answer. So,
I'm happy that worked for you, Angie.
it did. It did. So, another thing that the CDC recommends is following this checklist, and it's a very long checklist, which I will also add to our list of things of resources. They provided, I saw on the list, it includes things like how to set up for virtual learning. So, like the physical area, how to set it up, how to plan around e-learning in your home, like with schedules and stuff, and monitoring social emotional well-being. So for the part of setting up your home for a friendly motivational in-home learning, what do you think are the most important things to consider in your homeschool setup?
I know we're doing virtual now, but I just want to remind parents that continuing your schedule, setting up a routine is important for your for children. You know, and making sure that we're setting up different areas in our home for each of our children so they have their own space while they're doing virtual learning. You know, maybe one is in the living room, one's in the kitchen, one's in their own bedroom. And just having materials ready for your for their class, you know, pencil, pen, paper, that way they have it there ready to go. So when teacher does ask a question or information for them to write down, they have it there. I think also what's important is having a clean space and kind of minimizing noise during this time. And having less distractions is also very important. I know some of us are also at home and if we're either watching TV or we're cleaning, you know, being mindful that the children are also in their own their space and are trying to study. So making sure that we kind of lower maybe our music or maybe if we're watching TV, lower the volume.
Yeah, I think that's so important to keep in mind, just like, you know, the area where you're where you the child is has been designated to be at for e-learning should be like decluttered and making sure that you have, you know, all the supplies and stuff they need. I think that is so important. But the part of, you know, just like keeping the volume and stuff can be hard sometimes, especially when there's little ones around. So like utilizing, you know, headphones if they're able to or like things like that. I think you gave us really, really good ideas on how to set up a nice motivational area in our home for e-learning. And then in the checklist of planning virtual learning, they also suggest a series of things to consider. And I think that to keep the kids engaged in e-learning and motivated, which ones do you think are the most important of that list?
I know that since the kids are at home now during e-learning, I think it's important that we keep in mind that they also have their break time or their lunch time, that way we have meals ready for them. And I know some of us as parents, we work while the kids are at home during school. So making sure that they have food ready for them, you know, that way they're ready to heat it up or it's a cold lunch, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's important. And other things that I was reading on the list that I think are very important is if your child has an IEP, an individual education program, or a 504 plan, it's important that you ask your school how these services will continue during virtual learning. And if your child is receiving other services like speech, occupational, or physical therapy, again, it's important to we have contact with our school team and just saying, hey, how is this going to work while we're doing e-learning?
Yeah.
And I think one of the things I would advocate the most is if your child is receiving mental health services, asking your school how these services will continue during e-learning, since sometimes our clinicians, you know, went to schools and saw the students, so talking to the clinician and talking to the school, seeing how this is going to work now. I know in District 33, if you're in need of counseling services for your child and your family, it's important that you ask your school counselor or social worker to get more information on these services. And if you don't mind, Angie, I could also leave DuPage County Health Department's information. If you are within DuPage County, you could also call us at 630-682-7400 if you're wanting services for your child and also if you're in need of services.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Mental health is so important. So many of not only our students in our district, but so many students around the country and probably in the world are facing a lot of a new way of learning can be stressful and can you know, cause a lot of anxiety. And so mental health resources are important. So thank you for sharing the DuPage County Health Department line for that. But if you don't live in DuPage County and you don't go to our schools, I think that just reaching out to your health department, your local health department, if they don't have services there, most of the time they will have a list of providers that could take people with different insurances or even on a pay scale basis. So thanks for sharing that, Emily. So how can we prepare for a positive virtual learning experience? How can we prevent the negative responses to e-learning? Because we as parents, I know a lot of us are struggling with that because we're not teachers, we're not educators, but also we have to work. So it is stressful for us, but then it can also be stressful for the kids. But how do we keep it positive?
Well, let's look at it this way, not to continue the spread of COVID, and being able to celebrate the opportunity to be able to go to school, even though it might be virtually at this time. You know, show some enthusiasm for your children's interests. Encourage them to explore subjects that fascinate them. So if the child loves social studies or science, you know, kind of exploring that. I know that we're learning virtually, but maybe school or your community has something going on virtually for your child. Also pointing out the new things you learned with enthusiasm. Celebrate their achievements, no matter how small. And I know some of it, celebrating an achievement doesn't mean buying them something, but more of like, oh, good job, you know, you did it. And focusing on their strength, encourage their developing talents.
Absolutely, absolutely. I love that. I love what you just said. I think it's so important for the kids to, you know, to have that positive experience, and it can be hard. I know. it is super, super great to hear that. And trust me, there's so many other school districts, so many other places that are going through the same that our parents, our families in District 33 are going through. So the last thing I want to ask is that I have seen and I have heard a lot of stigma surrounding a COVID-19 diagnosis. You know, kids making fun of students or parents shaming other parents or even like on social media because of a positive COVID test result. And, you know, kids can be cruel sometimes, you know, even with playing, even when it's distancing and stuff like that. And of course, we have to keep our distance. And of course, we have to stay 6 feet apart when we are not around people who live within our home or wearing face masks and stuff like that. It is important that we stress that. But then, you know, kids can be mean around other kids because a father had the virus, or because the kid was absent from school for a week, then they're making fun of them for that, you know. So I think it is important that we do a better job in how to take care of this stigma. So how can we better support the community in this particular subject?
I think COVID is very serious, and anybody could be exposed to COVID. We need to give support to one another, especially during these tough times. Children mimic parents' behavior and hurting words that they might say to other people. So parents need to be cautious of what they're saying around their kids. Kids think if a parent says it, then it might be all right to say it themselves. So stigma hurts everyone. This can cause fear or anger. And according to the CDC, a stigma can also make people more likely to hide symptoms or illnesses and keep them from seeking health care immediately and preventing individuals from adopting healthy behaviors. This means that stigma can make it more difficult to control the spread of an outbreak like COVID.
Oh my gosh. You know what? I had not thought about it that way, but I think, I mentioned it to you that my daughter has had issues with her ear forever since she was in like third grade. And so she had another ear infection not too long ago, and her doctor is well aware of this. And so she obviously said, you know, we still have to bring her in. We have to do the test because we got to make sure that it's nothing else because she had a fever. Of course, she ended up having an ear infection, and so she had to be treated for that. But school will not allow her to come back because she had a fever. So unless we did a test and we brought it back, or we had documentation that said where the fever was coming from. But when I told her that she was not going to be able to go to school until we had all of this stuff proving that she was not sick with the virus, she lost it. She said, "Mom, they're going to make fun of me when I come back to school. They're going to ask me if I have the virus. And they're going to be saying, ooh, Brenda has the virus, you know, all this stuff." And I felt terrible. I felt terrible for her, even though I knew that she was fine. But then I thought about those kids who did have the virus, you know, who did have to go through that. Not only is it such a bad thing health-wise and the physical symptoms, but also the stigma that comes with it can seriously prevent someone from saying anything because they're so afraid of what other people are going to say.
Right.
Yeah. Well, Emily, thank you so much for being here with us today. Is there anything else that you like to add for our families?
Well, thank you, Angie, for having me on your podcast. And for everybody that's listening, take care of yourself first so you can take care of your family. And don't forget to give yourself a few minutes a day to self-care. And Angie, I just want to leave you guys with a quote. World peace can be achieved when, in each person, the power of love replaces the love of power. Thank you, Angie, for having me on your podcast.
Oh, thank you, Emily. That was such a great quote. I love it. Thank you so much for sharing it with us. Thank you for being here. And can you tell us how people can get in contact with you?
Yes, you guys can reach me at my email, which is Emily, E-M-E-L-I, Solis, S-O-L-I-S, at dupagehealth.org.
And if anybody wants Emily's information, I also will add it to the details of the podcast. So make sure you check that out. Once again, Emily, I cannot thank you enough. You have been super flexible with me and super patient with this, devices and the cyberspace that I don't know how it always works out for people, but it wasn't working out for me last week. So I appreciate your patience and I apologize for the delays on everything. And thank you so much for being here. And I just want you to have a great rest of the week. I know it's Monday, so have a great rest of the week. Have a great end of your day and your work day. And enjoy life, enjoy your family, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Angie.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. Well, all of that was incredible information that Emily just shared with us. And of course, we use materials from CDC. Let me just remind you that these materials have been posted to the detail section of this podcast. And I'm just so happy that everybody was here. Today, we do not have a segment for like something fun or like a poem or something different, because we wanted to make sure that our parents finish listening to this episode and they go and they prepare their little areas in their homes to prepare for virtual learning. So remember, to prepare for virtual learning, you do not have to spend a lot of money. You do not have to have a huge house. You can just designate a little area, keep it clean, keep it organized. Maybe post a little cute sign somewhere that says, "I'm proud of you and you can do this," something like that. And let's just keep that area clear of clutter and just to keep the kids motivated. Also, if you need help, if you're one of our parents in District 33 and you need help with your Chromebooks or your technology, please contact the school district. You can do this by going to the website in the parents' resources and clicking on the family tech support survey. So you just have to fill out that survey and you will be able to make an appointment for someone to check on your student's computer. So thank you again so much to Emily for joining us. Thank you for listening to us again and having another episode with us. If you know someone who may use this episode or could use this episode, please, please don't forget to share and subscribe. Thank you so much. And remember, enjoy your family, enjoy your loved ones, stay positive, and stay healthy. This is your host, Angie Nieto. Till next time.